Okay, it's 2 o'clock, and we want to welcome everyone to Texas Library Association Strategic Webinar Series, presenting Collaborating for Texas Work Skills Development with Carolyn Brewer and Alexis Sarkeesian. Again, everyone should be hearing the audio webinar by dialing toll-free to 866-740-1260. But if you have any trouble seeing or hearing any part of today's webinar, please contact the ReadyTalk support line, toll-free at 800-843-9166. That's 800-843-9166. Everyone will receive an evaluation survey after the program. We very much appreciate if you would fill those out. We are still relatively new to the webinar business, and we very much appreciate
your headphones off because I've got the audio here.
Suggestions as to topics you would like to hear webinars about. Continuing education certificates will be available tomorrow on the TLA CE website at www.txla.org/CE. And I'll repeat that address again at the end of the program. The recorded webinar will be available for free next week at the same website. We will be asking everyone to mute your phone, *6. That's just to hold down background noise during the presentation, *6. To mute your phone, please. You'll be able to unmute your line if you need to ask a question with a *7, or you can raise your hand using the raise hand button on your screen, or type questions to us via the chat box in the lower left-hand corner. Those of you who would like to tweet about today's program, the Twitter hashtag will be #TLAWeb. That's #TLAWeb. Now I would like to introduce our speakers for today. We'll be having two speakers. The person we'll hear a little bit later is Alexis Sarkeesian. She is a marketing consultant and author of the online column Ask Alexis. With over 20 years of experience as an Emmy Award-winning television producer and an international marketing executive, on-camera and voiceover talent, educator, marketing consultant, entrepreneur, and adjunct instructor, Alexis has a track record for success. She can guide your organization through the steps necessary to become and remain competitive in the 21st century. And our first speaker will be Carolyn Brewer. Carolyn Davidson Brewer is the Assistant Director of North Texas Library Partners, previously known as the North Texas Regional Library System in Fort Worth, Texas. And Carolyn, over to you.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate everybody being here today, and hopefully you can hear me okay. If you have any problems, just be sure and let us know in chat or let Ted know. Thanks to TLA for letting me talk about the Texas Work Skills Development in Libraries, as we affectionately call it, TWDL. So you'll hear us talking about TWDL a lot throughout the day. And I'm going to go online and show you live. We have a screenshot up here of the TWDL webpage, and I want to go in and show you live. And I think, Ted, have you shared the desktop with me? Or I mean, I'm a presenter. Let me just switch it over real quick. The Texas Work Skills Development Libraries, I want to do a little background information. I've been teaching these classes now for a little over a year. It started with a grant with several different library systems, like the North Texas Library Partners. We put this together to be a tool, and that's what I want people to take away from this more than anything. When you're setting up your own classes, your own curriculum, or you're using this, I just want you to use this as a tool. We developed it so that your library users can come in and hopefully sit down, and it's fairly intuitive, and use it without you as library staff having to stand over someone's shoulder or sit down with them for several hours. When they need resume help or cover letter, come in and ask you about interviewing, maybe basic computer skills, that type of stuff.
Carolyn?
Back to the Texas Work Skills Development and Libraries. Like I said, I've been doing these classes. I've done about 150 classes now, mostly on how to do a resume, cover letter, and how to look for a job online, because we all know we're getting asked that just tons statewide, nationwide, on how to do that. If you look at the web page, notice at the top the Texas Work Skills Development and Libraries icon, and everything is at the top. And then over on the left in the black is a series of bullets. And that's where I want to really spend some time with you today and show you kind of how we set it up. And then I also want to tell you, you certainly have the freedom to change this, manage this, however it will work for you and your library setting and your goals and how you set it up. When I first started doing the classes over a year ago, I set them up as two-hour classes. It would be 2 hours on resumes, cover letters, and interviewing, and then I would usually do that in the morning and come back in the afternoon and do 2 more hours on how to look for a job online. After I had done that for a while, one of the things I realized is when people would show up for the afternoon, if they hadn't attended the morning session, of course, then I would spend a lot of time reviewing resumes, cover letters, and interviewing for the second group. So this year, for me, which started in September, I'm merging those classes. I'm still just doing them as 2 hours. That's about as long as people can take it and they're willing to commit, usually per day, at least the public. Excuse me. And so what I do now is I spend about an hour and 20 minutes on resumes. I have a PR it to where telling people if you have a resume already, bring it to the class. If you don't, we're going to look at some templates. And then I spend the rest of the time just kind of letting them look for jobs, showing them the sites. But we don't spend a lot of time them just sitting there looking and looking and looking for jobs because they can go back out to the library computers and do that. What I want to spend time with them is getting their resumes and job search skills or computer skills kind of up to another level and how they can then practice on their own in your libraries without you having to, again, stand over their shoulders. So let me just kind of explain how this page is designed to help you use it. I'm always looking for new sites, but I'll be real honest, when I put content on here, I think one of the things that we as librarians do that can be a little overwhelming to people is we show so many resources and we try to help them so much that we confuse them. And so I've limited each page to just a few key sites. I know there's good ones out there. There's thousands of them out there, but I'm trying to keep it kind of minimalistic so that people can go in and not feel too overwhelmed. And that's why if you've got a favorite that you don't see, just let me know. But, again, I'm not trying to grow it into every possible site. I just want a good core service available for them. Over on the left side, the Getting a Job, when you scroll over it and click, they're going to see online resources and workshops. Now, the workshops are going to be the workshops that have gotten posted on here statewide through the systems. If you have classes, you can get them on here. I would suggest that you contact your system office to help put them on here. If you don't see up here at the top, there's 5 systems listed. If yours is not listed, go ahead and let us know here at NTLP, and we'll see if we can get some classes on here. They're by system area so that your public, if you're like, I wonder if there are any classes in my area, you can just go on here and look. It will tell the library it's at, the date and time of the class, and then what the main emphasis of that class will be. Most of the libraries, I can't say all, but most of the libraries will have a sign-in sheet and a registration. So if you have the public, somebody that wants to attend, they need to contact the library and make sure that there's room, because we try to do these hands-on with them sitting at a laptop or at a computer. And there's Central Texas, which is the Austin area. And you can see they have several still coming up in March and April, May, June. The Houston area, theirs through August. Ours, the North Texas Library Partners. And then I wanted to show you, you're seeing TWDL, TWDL, and then DLC2, which is the Digital Library Core. And that is a series of classes. Usually when we do a TWDL class, we just go out and do one class on the topic. DLC takes it to the next level, the Digital Library Literacy Core. Sorry. And as you can see, they may have a series of 3 classes a week apart. And the same people can come to each class, and that way they get a good series and get better practice. As we all know, you can't learn the computer in one day, so it kind of helps them that we can do these DLC classes. For you, for the most part, don't worry if it's a DLC or TWDL. You just want to set up classes in your area or use this web page. If you're going to be setting up classes, it doesn't matter which one you call them. Like I said, the TWDL classes, the TWDL, tend to be one class. or two on the same day, whereas the DLC will tell them, okay, we'll come out over 3 months and do several classes and build it up.
But Carolyn, quick question.
Yes.
This is from the chat. How do people get their classes listed on this website?
I was saying if they see that their system is listed on this page, wherever, whatever library they're with, if their system is listed, I would contact the system office.
Okay.
For the most part, North Texas Library Partners and Central Texas Library System are the ones that are listing most of the classes for you. So if they wanted to email me or Era and Laura in the Central Texas Library System, just email us the date and times, and we can get them on.
Okay, and we'll be posting your contact info at the end of the webinar.
Right. When we end, if anybody has any questions and they're just not sure to go with whatever for Twiddle, email me, and I'll get it to the right person, or we'll make sure it gets answered.
Okay. Carolyn, this particular person is part of Nettles.
Okay. Then go ahead and just send it through me. If you don't see your system listed, just go ahead and send it to the North Texas Library Partners. Attention, Carolyn, and like I said, I think my email will be listed later, or we'll put it on.
Yes, we will.
I will tell you, give me some lead time on that. Don't send me something for a class tomorrow because I have to be able to have time to go in, but I'm happy to do that because the more we can get listed on here, then the better we can serve, you know, the public. And I think that hopefully answered Elizabeth's question.
Looks like it did.
Okay. I'm hearing some great music now.
Yeah, we're going to work on that.
Okay. As long as you can hear me over it, that's fine. But what I want to really show you, under the workshops, like learning about computers, you can always see what classes. But where you're going to be using in your libraries, or if you're setting up classes or you're helping a patron, is you'll want to go to online resources. So over on the left, back in the bullets, if you click the online resources link, you'll get a set of 5 more bullets. And let me just kind of go over these fairly quickly, because what I really encourage everyone to do is, of course, in a one-hour webinar, I can only show you so much, is for you to just be familiar with what's on this webpage, and then you pick out what you think is going to help your public or your users the best and become more familiar. One of the things when we started putting this together is, obviously, when someone loses their job, it's not in a vacuum. A lot of other things happen in their life, too. So that's what some of these other bullet points are about. Got laid off is for people who have recently been laid off who are getting unemployment benefits. And unfortunately, we all know that the library is where people get sent a lot of time by Texas Workforce Commission or by other agencies to get on the computer and to do things. And they'll then come ask us questions about unemployment or housing, all kinds of things that we may not know the answers to. So what we did is we went in and put some of the most common links. I will tell you, I did this in partnership with Texas Workforce Commission here in the Tarrant County area, and they've worked with us and actually include links on their page now back to this page to help people. So if somebody comes in and they say, hey, I just got laid off, I have a question about unemployment, you can put them here. I want to know if there's financial assistance, housing assistance, that type of thing. The programs we listed will be nationwide or statewide programs. It's impossible for us to keep up with everyone's local food pantries and stuff like that. So these are the national and state programs for financial assistance, for like the SNAP program, which we know is food stamps. So for this one, this section, this got laid off, is not necessarily for them to look for a job. It's to help them with any other peripheral needs they may have. So you can sit them down and put them in this. The time for a change is for people who are having to go through an industry change. So many oil workers, gas workers, construction workers are all having to now kind of go out and do a resume for the first time in their life. I deal with so many people out in the oil fields who've never in their life had to do a resume. And they're having to do that now. They're having to kind of rethink their jobs. One of the things is you're doing, working with people on their resumes to really keep in mind is they have got to learn to sell their skill set, not just what they've been doing. And this is where this comes in and our guidance comes in. Someone that's been in the oil field all their life or a construction foreman all their life, and now they're having to do a resume and look at a different industry. We have to teach them that even though they may not be in the oil field or construction business, They learn time management skills. They learn dealing with deadline skills. They learn how to manage people, how to project manage. Make them understand their skills versus just what they've been doing, because they can then market those and not just, I've been a construction foreman for the last 3 years. So this group of pages is for people who are kind of stuck and not really sure what their next career might need to be or what other jobs are even out there. And if you'll notice, down here at the bottom, workplace skills, transferable job skills, it will teach them to think about their jobs, what they've really been learning and doing for the last however many years, and to then sell those specific skills to the next job. So that's time for a change, changing careers, changing jobs, kind of changing industries. Newer returning is people that have left the job market for a while and are coming back. Maybe it's someone that was taking care of kids, taking care of elderly. Now they're coming back to the workforce. Or for those who've recently graduated or entered the workforce and don't have a lot of experience yet, often they can't kind of get their mind around what it is they need to do to get a job. How do they sell themselves when they don't have a lot of paid work experience? This is where I really start talking to them about their volunteer work, working with the school for their kids and things like that. If it's a student, what were they a leader of in the schools? What did they graduate with? What was their emphasis of study? That kind of thing. Again, this is for newer returning. Where I'm using a lot in classes that I've been teaching is I do run into a lot of people who've taken 8 or 9 years off to raise kids. They had some computer skills when they left. They're coming back, and now we need to kind of get them caught up, and I'll show you some places to send them to do that. Where I spend most of my time in my classes is the finding jobs and making yourself known, the last two bullets on the left-hand side. The other three above, I just kind of tell them about it in case that that does meet their need. But what most people want to know is my resume and how do I find a job. So making yourself known, the last bullet, is actually where resume, cover letter, and interviewing skills information is. Someone comes into your library and they say, I need a resume. I've never done one. Put them in templates for Microsoft. Probably most of y'all have Microsoft on your computers. They can get to Word. They can go through the templates. They've done an excellent, excellent job on templates. I say, why reinvent the wheel? I also will go to Google sometimes and just search on image files for different resumes for different types of careers and let them look at those. But the templates are great. And when I put these out here, I kept really thinking I should give them lots more choices. And it's like, no, Microsoft really does a nice job. Most of our patrons can follow it very clearly and get a resume. I do emphasize, if I'm doing these classes for 2 hours doing a real class, that they need to get their resume in electronic format. So I talked to them about a flash drive and that they can go to Walmart or the dollar store and get one very reasonable. And to keep their resume on their flash drive at all times, put it in their wallet, put it in their purse, put it in their pocket, and hold on to that so when they come to you for assistance or they need to send out an email, they've always got it ready. If they're truly looking for a job, they need to have that resume ready to go. One thing, too, I've been noticing is, and I can't ever remember if it's Dollar General or Family Dollar, but some of the stores like that I've been going into that have the job kiosk, they now will just have them put their flash drive in it, download the resume, and that's how they apply. I was just recently helping my husband, who happens to be, got laid off a little while ago, and we were looking at some jobs, and he is a mechanic, so he is used to walking from place to place and asking, do you have a job, and taking the position that way. And he's having to do resumes for the first time, so we've been putting together resumes. And what he is finding is that most places won't even take a paper resume, I mean paper application at first anymore. He'll go to them and they'll say, nope, send us your resume, upload your resume. So we've got to start training people to be ready with that flash drive. And depending on their level of computer skills, it will depend on how much time you have to spend kind of on what is a flash drive and saving your resume. Make sure they save it in the format that your library has that they're going to be using real regularly so that they get the right version. Now, after the templates, there are all types of resume tutorials listed here. I try to keep an eye and make sure all of these are still up and active and monitor them. But if you see something that's down sometime, let me know. And I want to point out that, again, I go with the templates if they need to start their resume from scratch. And then I'll go down if they just have no idea where to start. I'll put them in. A lot of times A&M's tutorials, they do a really nice one in the University of Minnesota. Colleges tend to do really nice resume tutorials, of course, because they're dealing with people looking for jobs. Doesn't mean the rest aren't good. What I really encourage you to do, and it takes a little bit of time, but you'll be ready with any of your other staff or volunteers you work for, become familiar with a couple of these tutorials. You do not have to know them all. Just get familiar with a couple that you really like, and then when people come in and need help on their resumes, you can sit them down, get them started in a tutorial or a template, then you can walk off and help other people or do what you need to, and then have them just ask you questions. And it will at least get them started with a fairly decent formatted resume. And then depending on their level of skill and their level of education, you'll have to kind of guide them from there. The general career coaching, which is listed right under that, these are sites for specific areas of Texas that just will have all types of career information in one place. I don't want to spend a lot of time looking at that, those, because they're going to be different for each area. So if you have one listed for your area, take time to look at it. It's just another set of sites that's going to have how to do resumes, that kind of thing on it. On the cover letter section, I purposely kept that very simple. People are spending way too much time and energy on cover letters. One of the things that I personally did when I got ready to start teaching these classes, and I don't expect you to, but it gave me a good foundation in putting all this together, was I went and spoke to, now it's probably about 20 HR departments around my area, the North Texas area, and talked to big companies, small companies, mom and pops, whoever did the hiring, and asked them, what is it you're looking for? What are people doing right? What are people doing wrong? It's such a competitive time. How can we make people stand out? And what I heard over and over is on cover letters, people put too much detail. They don't want it like a resume with everything listed again. What they're looking for is why you're the best fit for the job. So when you help someone put a cover letter together, it needs to be fairly easy to read, a lot of white space, no more than 3 or 4 paragraphs. Usually the first paragraph is just going to tell them, this is what I'm applying for. Second paragraph, why I'm a good fit for the job, several sentences telling why I'm a good fit. And the third paragraph, if they need more information for that, of why they're a good fit. And then third or fourth paragraph, the last paragraph needs to be, thank you for considering me, this is how you reach me. So paragraph one, this is the job I'm applying for. Paragraph two or three, if you need two, why I'm the best fit for the job. And the last paragraph is, this is how you can contact me. And keep it real simple. And that's what several HR people said, that they're getting 2, 3, 4-page cover letters, and they're just not going to be able to read them. The other thing, back to resumes, that I heard over and over and over was tell people to put volunteer work on their resumes, that's something that makes them stand out. So as you're working with somebody, you might ask them, do you do some volunteer work, again, at the school, at the church? And list that, and especially if they're unemployed right now, because what it shows is giving back to the community and a willingness to work and take initiative. So be sure and kind of talk to them about anything they have for volunteer work. I would guess 80% of the HR people I spoke with mentioned that. And then at the bottom is the job interview. We have several videos that are listed here that they can play that will show them how to do an interview. Maybe they just kind of need to be refreshed. One of the things I have learned in doing these classes, and y'all know this, I'm preaching to the choir, when they come in and they want to use our computers and they want to build a resume or look for a job, they're so defeated and discouraged so many of the times by the time we get with them and talk to them. And so sometimes if they'll just sit down and see how to prepare for a job interview or the etiquette, what to wear, that type of thing, it just kind of motivates them again. It gets them thinking, I can do this, you know, and they get encouraged. If you're able to at all, let them come in the library and play these videos. I will play some of them usually in my class just to kind of show them. I really like the how to prepare for a job interview, the third one down. And it talks to them about what to wear, how to prepare, and that type of thing. And even though some of them may have done 20 interviews already, it just helps them refocus. So everything under job interview is videos. So depending on what your library is able to do with sound and video, show them those. But keep in mind, they can access this website from home or anywhere. So even if you just show it to them and then they go home and watch the videos, it still will really encourage them. The finding jobs is where they actually can go online and start looking for jobs. Now, I need to say a little bit about this because with so many people, and y'all all have great resources and have been doing this, I'm sure there's things on here that you use that aren't listed. But again, I was trying to keep it minimalistic. I did the networking and resume at the top simply because I knew a lot of people would link straight to finding jobs. And I wanted them to also get some resume information and networking information. But under the job search sites, as you see, I've listed Indeed.com as the number one site. I'm telling you, after 150 classes I have learned, I have had so many people who find a job on Indeed while they're in my class. They go make the interview, and they call me back or email me back and tell me they got a job. Indeed.com was named by Library Journal as one of, I don't remember if it was the top or one of the top job search sites out there just in the last few months. We've been using it for over a year, and I've always thought it's probably one of the best. It is a federated search. What it does, what Indeed does different than Monster and some of the others, is they go out and search small-town newspapers, medium-sized newspapers, employer sites. They go out to find the jobs and bring them back in. They don't wait for the employer to post them. So where I have found Indeed very, very helpful is for people who are, well, everywhere, but especially in the smaller communities or more rural communities, people will come in and say, there are no jobs in my area, and we'll go to Indeed and look. I want to open Indeed for just a moment for those of you who have never seen it. And when this pops up, it will pop up just like this with some jobs that it's, I'm not sure how it defines the first level of jobs. But what I tell people is over here, hopefully you'll see my mouse moving, at the advanced job search, that's where I tell them to click first. And what I have learned is there are two types of people looking for jobs. There is the type of person who's, I ask them, what type of job are you looking for? And they'll say, anything, I just need a job. What kind of industry? Anything, I just need a job, Carolyn, just help me find a job. People that have that kind of mindset and experience, I take straight to the bottom of the advanced job search, ask them how far they're willing to commute. One thing I've learned, if they've been unemployed for a few weeks, they'll commute 10, 15 miles. If they've been unemployed for a year, they'll commute 50 miles. So tell them to kind of change that up. I usually tell them to start within about 10 miles and then put their home zip code in here, not even the city, the home zip code, and I'll just put mine in as an example. And then change the jobs published to the last 7 days. And what I really want them to pay attention is if they're seriously looking for a job, we're going to do the search in the class today together. And I have them go through and look. And then I tell them their homework, and I don't check on them, but people are often motivated if they're given an assignment, is if they're seriously looking for a job, I want them on this website every single day if they can, if not at least every 3 days. And look at just the new jobs. One of the things I learned is that jobs that are posted on here quit taking applications very quickly. Gone are the days you can see a job and think, oh, I'll wait a couple days and then apply for it. And I can't find the article, so I hate to even say this to a bunch of librarians because I'm still looking for the article. I just happened to read across it one day. But it was saying that a lot of online jobs only actively accept applications for 9 to 12 hours after they're posted. And you heard me correctly, hours. And it's not that they're not going to take the person's resume. It's that usually they're so inundated with the number of resumes by that time that the chance of yours getting seen becomes very small. I tell people that because it's like if you see a job, you need to be applying for it within hours, not days. Don't think about it a couple days. Go ahead and apply online. And then if you don't want the job later, you can turn it down or you can not go to the interview or make an interview, but get your resume in there. So we do the 7 days, and then I tell them to find a job. Click find a job, sorry. Tell them find a job. Yes, go find one. Notice it's just like on Google with the sponsored jobs, sponsored links. That usually tends to be employers who are hiring lots of people for one type of career or they're trying to get you back into school. I tell them to skip those and come down to what's listed. Now, keep in mind, I didn't put any keywords. I didn't put any type of job. I didn't put any kind of salary because I'm dealing with a person that just wants a job. So this just lets me know, and I'm in Fort Worth, just what's even around me open, and how long ago did it post? This railroad, 2 days. Dispatcher, 12 hours. Contact, 22 hours. If they see something 3 or 4 days, I don't tell them not to apply, but to try to always get it in the first few hours. Here's one with Pepsi for 5 hours ago. So they would click on the job and then follow the directions to apply. One of the things I want to show you on this, because I think this is really a neat feature of Indeed. It's why I'm spending so much time on just Indeed. Notice under the jobs, there will be a save job, block, email, more. You can always tell it to email you jobs like this, but what I want to show you is the more button, the M-O-R-E that's listed under each of the jobs. When you click on more, the second one down is always going to be a salary search. And it's going to tell you in the specific area you ask for, what are the ranges of salaries for this type of position. And I purposely did an administrative assistant because I get a lot of people looking for administrative assistant. And then as you can see down here by the pay, we would all want that $230,000 a year. I have no idea what that is. I may apply after the webinar. Just kidding. But what I tell them to do is if there's something really high, ignore it. If there's something really, really low, ignore it. But kind of look for what an average is. And, of course, administrative assistant is such a vague term and can mean so many things to look at the industry, whereas an administrative assistant in Homeland Security seems to be paying a whole lot more than a receptionist administrative assistant. But it will at least give them an idea in their area what are some of the salaries going out for that. And then you can also see the trend, and it's stayed pretty steady. So I think that's kind of a neat function because often people tell me I don't know what salary to ask for. I will tell you what several of the HR people also told me to be sure and let people know. And I think this is really important. When you're looking for a job and they list the qualifications that they're requiring, you need to meet the education requirement. They're usually not going to be they're not going to come down on that. If they ask for a bachelor's degree, they want a bachelor's degree. If they're asking for certification or licensure, they're not going to be able to negotiate that. So you have to have the education listed. You have to have the certifications or licensure listed. But they said after that, if you can meet 85% of what all is listed there, apply for the job. It's not a waste of time. If you cannot meet at least 85% of what they're asking for, then it's probably best not to apply for the position. Again, your patrons and all are going to have to decide for themselves, but that was the general word I got from the HR people. So they must have the education, they must have a certification licensure, and then try to meet 85%. I honestly think if they didn't mention this, but if they say they request bilingual, they're probably not going to negotiate a lot on that, but you would have to just check each job. Now, the other type of person that looks for jobs would be probably a lot of us, and we have specific things that we're looking for, and so you would do just like you would any search and go in and search for all the words, at least one of the words. You know, I might list library if I was looking for me or research, that type of thing, and just see what's in my area. So, again, it would be kind of the traditional search that most of us are used to doing with our keywords. I have found, though, that a majority of the people I'm working with in classes looking for jobs are just looking for a job. They're like, just sign me a job. They have skills that kind of transfer over all industries, administrative assistant, that type of thing. Let me go back real quick to the job search site and talk to you just about a few of these others that are listed here. Texas jobs, probably a lot of y'all familiar with, just looking for Texas-specific jobs. One of the things I want to point out is SchoolSpring, this one right here. One thing Indeed and several of the job search sites don't do as well is teacher jobs. And as we've heard in the news, there may be a lot of teachers looking for jobs. SchoolSpring is a statewide service that will show what a lot of the jobs are that are available. The problem with school districts is so many of them are behind such strong firewalls, it's hard to get to the jobs. What SchoolSpring will do, it will list the jobs, but it will also show you at least which districts seem to be doing the most hiring. And then ExperienceWorks, I want to point out, which is for low-income seniors, which they define as 55, I believe, low income of Social Security, and they go to the Texas Workforce Commission, talk to the experienced works person, and can get a part-time job, and the government will pay their salary for a year. So it lets them kind of get in and get some experience and that type of thing. But it is strictly for low-income seniors. There is a youth services side to it that I've listed here. They don't have their own page, and it's for 17 to 21-year-olds. And Texas Workforce Commission will work with them in completing GEDs or finding part-time jobs and that kind of thing. So there is a program for youth and seniors through the Texas Workforce Commission. Now, Career Builder, which probably a lot of us use and are familiar with, Fortune 500 companies really like Career Builder. So if you're in urban areas and people are looking for Fortune 500 company kind of work, Indeed's going to have a lot of them, but Career Builder is also going to have a lot. So I would search both of those. When I did the class on job search and we spend time going over resumes and talking about them, then I put them all, have them all immediately go into Indeed and start doing some specific searches for themselves. Then I take the time to walk around, and I try to keep my classes no larger than 20. Sometimes they get a lot larger, and sometimes they're a lot smaller, but I try to stay around 20. And then I walk around one by one and work with them and ask them how they're doing, how they're finding jobs, help them if they need to with keywords and that kind of thing. And we really focus just in class on Indeed, unless something different just pops up that I need to show them another one. And then tell them to go to Indeed or any of these other sites when they leave the office. For those who tweet and are Twitter people, a lot of companies are starting to post jobs on Twitter, and so I tell them about Tweet My Jobs right here. They just sign up, put in the hashtag, and then it will tweet jobs that match their criteria. Depending on the group and the questions, if I have time, I'll go over LinkedIn and talk to them about networking through LinkedIn. It just really... You have to be flexible on this because you get people, as y'all know, all coming at it from different directions, and I'll have someone in class who's never touched a computer, and I'll have someone in class who has been a programmer for the last 12 years and is just looking for something different. So just keep in mind, these resources are here. You don't have to show them all, but kind of pick and choose what matches the person in front of you. And real quick before I turn it over to Alexis, I just want to point out the Learning About Computers link right here, too. When you click on it, online instruction, these are just sites to kind of help when you're showing people how to use basic computers, and y'all are probably familiar with a lot of these. We just wanted to put them in one place for you. Here's some keyboard, mouse aerobics, help them get a feel for the mouse, how to get a feel for the keyboard, email, internet. But at the bottom, I wanted to show you, when you have people who need to kind of practice up on office products, there's some good tutorials listed here. 2010s haven't been released yet, or I haven't had time to find them yet to get them on here. But do know that when you have someone come in and they say, well, yeah, I've used Word 2003, I kind of need to update, then they can go into here and get some practice again without you having to stand over them and show them step by step. It allows you the ability to get them started and then move on. There's a lot of information in a short amount of time. I really just want you to remember the web page and take time to explore it. And I believe Alexis is probably on now. And we can move over to Alexis. Alexis, are you there?
Alexis, can you hear us? Carolyn, I'm not sure she's quite online yet.
Okay. Are there any questions or anything at this point?
Feel free to chat your questions to us in the chat box, or go ahead and raise your hand electronically and we can call on you.
While we're waiting, and since there is a couple minutes, because I just didn't want to keep talking, I do want to make the point of email, because often when you're doing a basic computer course or even jobs, people come in and they don't have an email address and they've never had to have one. Employers want email addresses. They want to know that they can talk to employees through email. So you're going to help them set up an email account through Yahoo or Gmail or something, and that is very time-consuming. When I know that a lot of people need email, I do an email-only computer class. I don't even try to add it into the other classes because it just takes so long. So if you have a lot of people in your area saying, hey, I need to learn about email, I need to get an email account, you might just set up a one-hour email-only class, and you'll have them all come in and then go to Yahoo or Gmail together and teach them how to sign up. I make them write down, of course, the address of how they got there, their username, their password, and make them put it in their personal wallet right then, because they're going to come in tomorrow and say, you helped me set up email. What was my password? And you're not going to remember. So have them, give them each a piece of scrap paper, have them write it down, and immediately put it in their personal wallet. Were there any questions? I wasn't paying attention.
Not yet. Those are some very good tips, Carolyn.
Oh, good. Well, then I'll just, because I kind of ran through this computer basics real quick, point out a couple things, and then, Ted, if you kind of notice Alexis is ready, let me know.
Okay, we're going to keep an eye.
Notice on the computer basics when I went through this so quickly, again, at the top is the mouse and the keyboard. When I do a class on computer basics, I make sure that on the publicity it says what level they should have to come into that class. Is it so basic that it's this is a mouse, this is a keyboard, this is Google? I did a class recently to where I couldn't believe it. Half the people had no idea what Google was. And, you know, you get kind of used to always using the computer and you forget that some people really don't have that base knowledge yet. So be sure on your publicity that you say, must know how to use email, because if they can at least do email, you know they know how to use a mouse and keyboard, probably. Not guaranteed, but probably. If you're going to be teaching mouse, keyboard, and that kind of thing, then put on there, this is for people who have no experience or very limited experience online. They'll come in, they have gotten computers for Christmas from family members who set it up and then didn't take the time to really show them, or they showed them quickly. And, I mean, I have to the point of this is probably how you turn yours on and talk to them about what kind of computer they have. So just make sure that when you publicize it that you're very specific what level you want them coming in. And then when somebody comes in, I was just recently doing a very basic, this is the mouse, this is the keyboard kind of class, and they sat down, and the first question I got asked was, how do I crop photos that my grandkids send to me? And it's like, that's not a basic question. And if I start getting into that, it's going to confuse the people that came here for basics. So what I let those people know is when we take a break, or I can stay after class and I'll show you how to do that, but this is a basic class and we have to step back from that. And they're welcome to leave if it's too boring for them, or they're welcome to stay. One of the things I've learned is if they will stay, they learn how to use things, their mouse, their keyboard, and functions a lot better because they're self-taught often. But you have to be kind of firm about that, because if you start answering all these other questions that are more developed, then you lose your beginner.
So without talking about the programs, and this is off of the website, it's hard to see, but.
And I think Alexis is with us now, Carolyn.
Okay.
Hi,
Alexis,
Carolyn.
Are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Great. Thank you so much for coming in.
Wonderful. Thank you all. Ted and Carolyn might have explained to you, I'm teaching a class in Chicago on public speaking, so I have a class kind of observing the webinar. But I'd like to, first of all, Carolyn, I'm sure you've done a wonderful job. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to hear everything, but I know you've done a wonderful job of explaining the program. And so were you doing a Q&A? Is that what was happening just now?
I was just finishing up with the webpage on the stuff I was showing them, like the basic computer resumes and stuff.
Oh, wonderful. All right. Well, what I'm online to speak with you all about is the marketing and the public relations aspect of this in terms of materials that are available to you should you decide, and we hope that those of you who are listening have gotten a much better understanding of the program, and that we want to encourage you to use this in your libraries. There is a host of collateral materials which we've developed, and I think, Ted, I might ask you to go to the webpage where we see Carolyn's picture on it, the first page, and this for the Twiddle site. And the very first page, when you get onto the Twiddle site, you'll see a beautiful picture of Carolyn. And actually what this is we created a video that summarizes the program as well. And what we like about this video is that it actually will give you some absolute feedback of some of the librarians that have used this program, as well as some of the coordinators who helped to create it. So that's what is on the site. And so if you are interested in knowing more about it, we encourage you to go to this website, to the website, and watch the video. From there, if you see in the left-hand corner, it says Library Tools. If you click that on, and I know Ted's going to do that, and scroll down to the bottom of the page, you will see a Twiddle promotional material listing. And what we've done there is we've created bookmarks, brochures, posters, press releases, and public service announcement formats that you can actually access and download and insert your own library name into, so that you can use this as collateral materials in your libraries. And an example I asked Ted to perhaps show us simply the press release that we have, and that's the next element. Yes, you can see for immediate release. And again, these materials have been designed for you to access and print on regular paper in your libraries. The posters are there to help promote the product, as are the rest of the materials. So we'd like to encourage you to have, I mean, as I'm sure you've heard from Carolyn, there's a wealth of information and a wealth of resources there to help your patrons learn more about either finding a job, improving their job skills. But we want to be sure that you had the materials to promote it, and that's what these materials are. I think that's a pretty simple, straightforward, information about the marketing aspect of this particular process. So I'm sure that there are probably going to be some questions, and maybe you might have some more questions for Carolyn as well, or for me. But we certainly want to encourage you to access these materials to help promote the product. Does anybody have any questions at all regarding the marketing?
Alexis, I wanted to point out you actually had a number of things. The bookmark that you have listed,
yes.
People can
yes,
introduce.
The bookmarks. Absolutely. You can certainly put those up too, Ted. I think what you want to do is I think that you want to take a look at these materials because they're very colorful, designed to be easily read. A lot of thought went into the creation of these materials, and you can see that the logo is very prominent on these particular collateral materials. But I just want you all to know that these are downloadable, and you can insert your own library name and information onto them and print them. They can also be printed in black and white. We've got them up in color simply so that if you do have a color printer, you can certainly print them in color. But I think that there would be absolutely no reason to not print them in black and white. The other thing is that the press release is designed to be used once you fill in your information. That can actually be sent to any local publication that you might have, or if you are in an area where you have your own local radio station, you could certainly send some information to your local radio station as well.
Okay.
So again, does anybody have any questions at all about the promotional materials? I think that you all should be very pleased. The way that this project was, and I can just say this because I was involved with it, I can't speak enough about the fact that we got some of you know, the best people in Texas who have thought through this process and put the content together. I know that listening to Carolyn, you would agree with that. And so this material that is on this website is very accurate, very reliable. It's been, I'm sure you heard Carolyn say, it's been completely vetted by librarians. So you would do very, very well to encourage your patrons to access it.
If anyone has any questions, please don't hesitate to chat them to us now, or you can raise your hand electronically. Comment from Sybil Brown, excellent information, thank you. Earlier, Tina Hager said TWDL is awesome. So people are very impressed with this resource.
Yes, Ted, and I think that, again, I would highly encourage everybody to watch the video because it's not long. I think it's about 10 and a half minutes. But we have quite a few testimonials on there from librarians of all types, from larger libraries to the smaller rural libraries in Texas who are using this and finding it to be extremely productive and useful. And we also have samples of patrons who have taken Carolyn's courses and will also speak to the value of that experience.
We have a quick question from Nettles coordinator Connie Moss.
Yes, Connie.
Can you describe DLC versus other training in this project?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Asking us to describe DLC versus other training that's listed in this project. Carolyn, I think this might be a question for you.
Earlier I'd mentioned, and I'm not sure I said the right name, the Digital Literacy Core. When I was showing you the classes, you'll see DLC classes listed and TWDL classes listed. TWDL is what we've had around for the last year, the Texas Workforce Development and Work Skills Development and Libraries, which is this web page and put all of that together. There was a second grant that did the Digital Literacy Core, which Austin, the Central Texas Library System, has really been putting that together, and it's a series, again, to where there's five different classes offered. A library can select to have all five classes at their library or three classes, and the trainer will come out and actually teach those classes, set up the lab, and do everything for you. And I'm trying to think of really how to differentiate. There's a lot of overlapping between the two. They both deal with looking for jobs and resumes and that type of thing. It's just the DLC is the newest component, and they'll come out and do the series. Like, we have one that was set up to where the trainer went out once a week for 3 weeks in a row and did computer skills training, so that the same attendees can come each time and kind of get developed a more robust training, I guess is the best way to put it. Connie's saying thanks, so I hope that I explained that well enough.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Right, and Ted and Carolyn, if there aren't any questions for me, I'm going to sign off and get back to class. But it's been a pleasure speaking with everybody. And Carolyn, I'm sure if there are any questions, I know you can answer them.
Thanks, Alexis.
Thank you so much, Alexis.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
There was one comment from Elizabeth Ponder that she's been sharing this information by email to her fellow reference workers during the webinar, and they are very excited about this resource. Are there any other questions for Carolyn?
No, I just want to say, Ted, I mean, even after the webinar with my email or whatever, people can feel free to email me if they're starting to do classes or they see something on TWDL they're not sure about or want to add. Love to hear from them. So.
Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and put the contact information for Carolyn Brewer and for Alexis Sarkeesian up on the screen so people can see their home web address and their phone number and email address if you have direct questions you would like to ask after the program. And Connie asked if this is archived, and yes, I'll be showing in just a moment. We do archive this webinar. The recording will be available for free next week. And you've been listening to Collaborating for Texas Work Skills Development with Carolyn Brewer and Alexis Sarkeesian. I want to just quickly thank Alexis of www.alexis.tv and Carolyn Brewer of North Texas Library Partners for this incredible amount of information. The Texas Library Association presented this webinar, and some staff members involved in that process have been Nan Ellis, your registration coordinator, Marianne Emerson, the webmaster, Gloria Moraz, Director of Communications, Aliyah Hershey, the Membership and Meetings Associate, Julie Serafini, the Programs and Events Assistant, who handled chat for all of you today. Thank you so much, Julie. And I'm Ted Warner, your Continuing Education Specialist and your host for the webinar series. We also want to give special thanks to ReadyTalk.com, our webinar platform. Please remember that CE certificates may be printed out tomorrow, February 23rd, on the CE webpage, which is www.txla.org/CE. And again, recordings will be available next week at that same website. We ask you to please complete the evaluation survey following the webinar. Your comments are very important to us. And just quickly, I want to mention that we have several other webinars coming up in the very near future. Julie Todaro is doing a premium webinar series for us, sort of in the spirit of this. Today we talked about the work skills development and the important role that you as librarians can play in economic development it's important to know your library services and to get those out in the community when it comes to justifying your budget, which these days is a very precarious and critical process. We're going to be having a number of webinars on this, assessing your library on March 3rd, strategic planning on March 10th, and using annual reports to make your case on March 24th. And for those of you in management and supervision, she's also going to be doing a reprise of her previous supervision webinar also at the end of March. And you can find more information about that, again, at www.txla.org/CE. I want to thank everyone for attending today. If you have any questions about any of these webinars or the webinar process, please don't hesitate to contact me. And again, our recording will be available on our website at txla.org/CE. Carolyn, thank you so much. This is an incredible program, and we really thank you for the presentation today.
You're welcome.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.